Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the life-changing 30-day love challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I was just speaking to our guest, who I will introduce in a moment, and I was saying to her that I was on the first steering committee and board of the U.S. Association for Body Psychotherapy in 1996, and I thought that the whole world was going to know about all these wonderful body therapies and mind-body therapies, and yet the word has not gotten out there enough yet. So I'm really thrilled to be speaking to Ronell Wood, author of the book Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. And many of you may have no idea what fascia is, and she will be explaining that. An author, teacher, mentor, public speaker, workshop leader with a private practice, Ronell teaches us how to heal and rid our bodies of pain. And how many of us would love to have that? She also helps us to learn how to facilitate our own healing. Once a speech pathologist, Ronell Wood has become a respected authority on fascia and healing. Her own traumas and injury led her to seek authentic healing, which did not happen with talk therapy, prescription drugs, or surgery. She teaches her true body approach involving light touch and body alignment classes and whatever else she will talk about at her sanctuary in Ojai, California, and in her travels around the world. So I am delighted to welcome you, Ronell Wood, and I look forward to learning more about myofascial release.
Good, because that's all I ever talk about.
Well, I've learned a lot about focus, how important it is to focus on one thing that you really value.
Indeed.
So I would love you to tell us first about your background. You were a speech pathologist. Tell us about that and your education and work experience and what led you to get involved to study and learn and then teach about myofascial release.
Let's see, where do I begin? I have always gone in search of what works. And it eventually led me to where I am now. And the way that it led me was through my own body. Not only the physical aspect of my body, but the spiritual aspect as well. Because I understand that the mind, body, and spirit is all swirled up together and connected, and there's no way that you can separate one piece out from another. So excuse me for waxing poetic, but I have a tendency to get very passionate when I present the idea that we have figured out that the fascial system inside our body is a net of fiber optics. If you had told me that back in the day when I was just a kid, I could have saved myself so much time in searching out solutions for what was going on with me through the traditional methods of Western medicine and talk therapy.
Now, all right, so now you're going to have to explain a few things before we continue.
Yes.
What is fascia? What is fiber optics? You know, and how you discovered this, what that is.
Well, we know what fiber optics are without a whole lot of explanation because we watch cable TV. And we know that that signal gets into our home through a system of cables that have thin glass tubes that conduct light, and information is carried in that light. And prior to about 6 years ago, those of us who worked with the body knew the effects that what we were doing had on the body, and when we would talk about it, it would cause the medical world to roll their collective eyeballs because we
right.
would say things like energy and vibration and frequency, and they wanted to see data. How can you prove that? How do you know that? And many years ago, the body was divided up in property. The spirit was given to churches as if that was their realm and theirs exclusively, and the body was given to science as if that was their exclusive realm. And there's even directives not to cross the lines either way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that. And what we would notice is when we were working with someone's physical body, they would have an emotional release. And I would always allow for that because that's my thing. I seem to have a gift at being with that kind of energy. There are therapists who say, I don't deal with that. So when an emotional release would happen, they would say, okay, don't cry, just breathe. And they would want
to skip over that
part.
I'd like to add something to that, that there's a danger in that, because I've had it happen to me. I've received all kinds of sessions, shiatsu and polarity and craniosacral. And once in a while, I would have a deep release, and the therapist was threatened by it, and they would stop me in the moment. And that can really stunt you. Yeah, the energy is moving, you're getting freer, you're getting in touch with an issue that you've held onto in your body, and somebody just shuts it down.
Yes, and to use an analogy you'll never forget, it's like you're about to throw up and somebody puts their hand over your mouth.
Right, and
that's awful.
And that energy stays in your body, so whatever the injury was, you had a chance to heal it. And so go on with what the fascia is.
Yeah, so about 6 years ago, a wonderful French doctor named Jean-Claude Gambartau wanted to figure out how to repair a tendon in someone's wrist without creating restriction. And as a surgeon and an expert, he had so much fiber optic surgical equipment to look inside the body, he got the agreement of living people who were going to have surgery anyway to go in there about 20 minutes before the doctor was going to do surgery and use his fiber optics to make videos of the fascia magnified 25 times. And this was pretty spectacular because prior to that time we would only study fascia on cadavers, and that is not at all the same animal you see when you look at a living person. So what we previously knew about fascia was that it was connective. We knew that it wrapped around everything and that it was continuous throughout the body. And physicians still regard that as just packing material, something that's in there like scaffolding in your body. But what we saw when we magnified the fascia is that these little tubules are tiny individualized fibers that are hollow and transparent and fluid-filled. So when he shone the light on them, you could see that the little tubules were just like light fibers inside the body. And in their healthy state, they lay down in the same direction as muscle, and they're individualized. But when they are cut or torn, they repair like plaid, like a darn in a sock, back and forth, crisscross and diagonal, creating a scar. Because the body is magnificent in its ability to respond to something that was potentially life-threatening and reinforce that area so that the danger won't have a strong effect in that spot again. But what we also know is that it doesn't often know when to stop repairing, so those little fibers may reach out and start to cling to other structures nearby in order to stabilize. And they can wrap around intestine, they can wrap around muscle, they can wrap around bone. And the C-section that you had 25 years ago is now creating problems with your urinary tract or your reproductive system or your intestines. But nobody would listen to you if you said, do you think this could be related to that scar?
Forget about it.
Yeah, that was so long ago. And that's something I want to emphasize here, is that it doesn't matter how long ago something happened to you. I often want to know about every accident and every surgery you've ever had, so that we get a picture of your fascial timeline and we begin to focus on whatever your area of complaint is when we do treatment, but we're always willing to look elsewhere for the cause and follow the path and trace back in your body physically where the source of the original holding might be. So
I want to add something in here as I'm hearing you talk. I'm thinking about all the people that have come for counseling, and when I'm taking a history, they say, well, what does this have to do with what's happening now? Well, what does my childhood have to do with it? So it's the same kind of thing. Our emotions and our body store everything.
Beautifully said. I'm going to use that word, store. We are like a great big storage tank of experience.
Right, and it's everything, emotional, physical, and spiritual, that's stored. So we do have to access the past to heal what's going on now. So continue telling us about the fascia.
The properties of fascia, yeah. We know that it's connective.
And also, how does it respond to our fear response and other emotions?
Exactly, exactly. So that's the third aspect of fascia. It's connective. It is communicative. It's transferring information through light fibers. And it's protective. In other words, when you hear a loud noise, you jump. And that aspect of jumping is facilitated by every fiber of fascia in your body squeezing at the same time, like a sea anemone.
Wow.
It helps you survive, and the biological purpose is for fight or flight. So you have all of this internal web that's springy, and it helps you be able to get set for running or fighting. And because it's squeezing your blood vessels, if you do fight and you get cut, you won't bleed too much in the moment. And it's squeezing your nerves so that you won't feel it in the moment. And so many people report having been in a car accident and saying immediately afterwards, I feel fine. And then next week, they don't. And the week after that, they really ache all over as their body begins to feel the effect of what happened in the moment.
And I have a question in the middle of this. What happens to those areas that you've built that scar tissue. Remember, you talked about that, that early injuries, the tissue is not so flexible. So what happens when you're in some kind of trauma and the fascia is squeezing, but what happens to that area that was restricted?
It cannot be as responsive. It doesn't have as much mobility. It doesn't have flow through that area. And it can debilitate your ability to respond quickly. You're wanting to run, but you've got so much ache and pain and resistance in your body that it slows you down. And this is where I want to bring in more light with my words right now, in the way that I do with myofascial release, to say this, that getting older does not mean inevitable decrepitude, because the fascia is made of elastin and collagen, and it has the ability to stretch and melt. Knowing that, rather than just work around scars, rather than just give up and say, oh, I just don't move as fast as I once did, the answer is this gentle stretching, compression, and traction to interrupt the pattern of holding and to invite those little fibers of fascia to individualize again. I do need to say that if those patterns of holding or those scars go untreated or uninterrupted, eventually they become bone. They will ossify in a long-term process by which they're trying to support you, because you are always in that position or you've always had that scar, and it decides, well, we're just going to solidify here and mineralize, and we will become bone. So there is a point at which you can't interrupt something like a hammer toe.
Mm-hmm.
That has developed, it has gripped, it has turned to bone, and nothing is going to change that unless you have surgery, and surgery creates more scars. So this is why I feel so passionate that I would love the world to know about this. I am at the end of the baby boomer generation, so it was 1946 to 1964, and I was born in 63. And I feel that I've been gifted with this soapbox to tell us all, yes, we're getting older, but we're going to do it different in exactly the same way the baby boomers have always done it differently.
Words I want to, sorry to interrupt, but just the other day, Sunday, I was with my 95-year-old aunt and my cousin and her friend, and her friend was saying to my aunt was complaining about the aging process, you know,
mm-hmm.
how awful it is, and my cousin's friend said to her that this is what you can expect, aging leads to decrepitude. She used that word,
oh,
and I cringed
goodness.
When I heard that. So
yeah.
It's good to hear you say the opposite. It does not have to be that way.
What a coincidence, huh?
Right, the same words. That's
I love...
So people are thinking that way, and that leads to more health issues.
Exactly. And if I can shift that paradigm, then my life has been well spent.
All right, so tell us what happens when someone comes to you. How do you evaluate them? What do you do in a session?
I'll do an intake interview, and just as you already said, they don't often come in really lighthearted. They often,
mm-hmm.
when I see a person for the first time, if I could take a picture, you would see a really drawn-down face, kind of a defeated, I've tried everything, don't give me hope, I've had so many treatments done that haven't worked, and why are you wasting time asking me all these questions?
Oh, wow.
It's an art to keep them engaged and then get right to it as soon as possible so that they can begin to feel relief that I cannot describe. My words are endless, but it isn't until someone gets on the table that I'm really able to communicate what we're doing, who I am, where we're going, just without words through my hands. So the intake interview involves talking about their surgeries and accidents, and oftentimes I'll point out that there is the accident and then there is how you felt about the accident. I'll give an example. One of my clients, when she was a teenager, was carousing with friends and decided that she would ride on the bumper of a car as they were driving down the road. It hit a speed bump, and she fell off and hit the back of her head, and it made an egg so large that she had to tease her hair to cover up the bump so that her parents wouldn't know what happened and what she wouldn't get in trouble for what she did. So the accident was hitting her head. Then how she felt about it was to hide it, to suck it up, to pretend that it didn't happen. That was when she was a teenager. I was seeing her in her 50s for headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And as a craniosacral therapist, you know what can happen when something like that occurs when you're young. And the whole fascial system goes into a protective mode and doesn't know when to stop. So it keeps on freezing. It keeps on gripping. And you can work around that when you're younger, but if that pattern is uninterrupted, you get these really thick, immovable lines of fascia in your body you don't know are there. We've all had the experience of reaching it toward a high shelf to get something and feeling resistance in our body and thinking, whoa, that can't be good. I better just put things on lower shelves now. Because
right.
Our instinct is to just work within the internal straitjacket that's forming and to not push beyond it. And my job when I see someone is to find where those restricted lines of the internal straitjacket are and invite them, never force, always gently invite them to know that it doesn't have to be that way by providing gentle traction or compression until I feel resistance, and then hanging out right there at that, what I call fascial wall of resistance. And it's such
I have a question right there. Does it hurt?
It is not intended to hurt. Everything I do is to invite the body to let go of bracing. And if I do something that makes them brace, I'm doing the opposite of my intention. I need to say in parentheses, there are times when it hurts good, and we all know what that feels like, that, oh, yeah, right, they're feeling. And I depend on my client sharing with me throughout the session. It isn't like traditional massage where you just have to lay there and hope they know what they're doing. I need people to speak up and say, oh, don't stop. That's exactly where I need it. Or, you know, Ranelle, if you could just back off just a smidge, I'd be able to let go even better. And that creates this partnership when we're working that is invaluable as I tailor what I'm doing specifically to their body, because as much as we have the same structure, no two people have had the same experiences. And that shows up in the body and where I find restriction.
Mm. So does the client have to know about fascia in order to benefit from the treatment?
Not at all. They don't have to know a thing. They can just come in and say, blah, 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 I'm laying down. And then we can get started. And their intellect can step back. Our intellect is so hungry, it always has been rewarded for having the right answer and figuring out why and wanting to know. But the channel that you're going to find healing on isn't through the intellect. We are smart people, and if we could have thought our way to feeling better, we would have. So in a way, it helps to just turn the brain off and your body's intelligence steps forward, and it is brilliant in knowing where it wants to be to let go. A stretching urge can come into the body, that Sunday morning don't have to be anywhere, really long stretch. The way that dogs stretch when they get up from a nap is a really wonderful internal natural urge that we all have inside and often train ourselves out of. The alarm goes off in the morning, we pop up, we get in the shower, we don't take that time to do what the animals don't forget to do. And it can happen on the table.
What you're talking about is letting the cerebral cortex turn off, because the parts of the body, the other parts of the brain, can function.
Indeed. And if I can give an analogy of how we are put together in terms of fascia, it can really help you visualize, because people often say, is there fascia in my brain? Is there fascia here? Is there fascia there? So think about this. An orange without its peel still holds its shape, as do we. Without our skin, there's a superficial layer of fascia just underneath that surrounds and connects everything and holds it together. You can take a section out of the orange, and you will see that it has its own container. So there's the white stuff that surrounds the whole orange and holds its shape, and then there's the tissue around each section that helps the section hold its shape. We are just like that. We have organs and muscles that you can remove that have their own containers. And it's like a thin layer of saran wrap around everything. But you can also
open a section. I never heard it so well. It's such a good analogy.
And so imagine opening a section of the orange, too, and each little piece of pulp has its own container as well. And we are like that inside our muscles, in the muscle spindles, and inside our organs, all the way down to the organelles, and all the way down to bone. We have fascia, and bone is mineralized fascia, and it's all connected to each other. So when you pull on my arm, you are dragging the fascia from my pinky toe.
It's just amazing, and we don't think of the body as connected at all. But I have another question, because
sure.
You mentioned something about medical doctors knowing nothing about it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What about now? What has been your experience with the knowledge that medical doctors have about the fascia?
We are in a burgeoning time of information about fascia. Before I started writing the book in 2014, there was very little that would show up when I would do a Google search about fascia. By the time I published the book in September of 2015, it was everywhere. And you know how that can be. I call it downloaded information, the 100th monkey idea, that one person spreads the news to 100 people, and pretty soon from 100 people now 30 billion people know. And there was a fascia conference held in Washington, D.C. this year, or last year, and it was all the researchers and scientists coming together to share what they're learning now about fascia, and we're getting traction in the medical world because we can actually show data. So there are many of us who are focusing on this in different ways to get the information out there. And a lot of people describe fascia, and a lot of people do scientific experiments on fascia, but I feel like I am during the time of Columbus, while he's just getting on the ships and the queen has given her approval for him to go out and find out whether the world is flat or round. And I've been in a rowboat beyond the horizon for years. So I didn't have to.
And I've been there longer than you have because I'm an early baby boomer.
And we are not hard to convince.
Body work in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Well, not just body work, but mind-body-spirit connection work.
Exactly. So when we hear this, we say, oh, yeah.
Emotional release of work. Anyway, Ronelle, it was delightful speaking to you. So just tell us, the time is running out. Tell us about your workshops and how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. I hold workshops in Ojai and am also available to travel to your state and do workshops that teach.
In case people don't
know. Ojai, California. And I teach in various areas. I teach about the body mechanics of healthy living. I teach about how to do myofascial release, and I teach how people can do their own self myofascial release. And we have a workshop coming up April 30 in Ojai where we're going to take 8 hours to work on the whole body using various sizes of yoga tune-up balls, laying on the floor, working into those corners, and finding relief from long-held patterns of fascial holding. And if anyone decides to visit us, this is a wonderful resort town where many people come and stay for long periods of time, and you can do a series of myofascial treatments because that's how the work actually helps the most, is if you do several scheduled close together in order to interrupt those patterns. You may call us at 805-640-9111 or visit our website at omsanctuary.com. That's spelled O-H-M sanctuary.com.
Can you repeat the phone number again?
Sure. It's 805-640-9111.
And what about your book? How can they find your book?
The book is called Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia, and it's available on Amazon.
Okay, wonderful. Ronelle Wood, it was just delightful speaking with you.
Thank you so much. You too.
So I look forward to reading more in your book, and I love getting those kinds of sessions. It can really heal your body so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I am your
Bye-bye.
Host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and be healthy, happy, emotionally happy. If you're ready for love, sign up for the early list for the next 30-Day Love Challenge, and contact me to speak at any of your events. I look forward to speaking with you again in the next episode.